Hey there, I'm Anna Pereira and you're listening to the Money Mindset Podcast. Bite-sized lessons to help you develop your financial education, build a strong money mindset, and make your money work for you. If you're ready to start making better financial decisions, then you, my friend, are definitely in the right place. Let's get started. Hello there, you beautiful person, and welcome to another episode of the Money Mindset Podcast. I am so excited to be back on the mic to continue to share what I know and what I understand about building wealth, developing a wonderful relationship with your money, and best of all, making it work for you. And in case you are new here, I'd like to, of course, be transparent. So straight up, I want to let you know that I'm not a financial advisor, nor am I an accountant. And of course, the information that I share is purely to encourage and help you think differently about money and about finances. My knowledge has come from my desire to develop my own financial education that I know was missing from my high school years, as I'm sure you can imagine. The same was perhaps the same for you. I turned the countless hours of research, reading, and thousands spent on coaches and courses to develop my mindset and to apply then the knowledge that I then turned into wisdom by having what I like to call skin in the game, by taking action. So at 38 years of age, I was able to retire from the business that I had spent years building alongside my business partner. And I was able to do this because of the years that I had previously spent applying that financial education by investing in multiple different asset classes and creating multiple income streams. You know, I wanted to retire not because I wanted to retire. I wanted to simply, you know, have more time for myself, be more in control of how I chose to spend my time, which I'm sure everyone can relate to that. I wanted to spend more time with my family, my children, and that is ultimately what then led me here. I wanted to be able to then share what I learned after so many friends and family members encouraged me to create this platform to share what had ultimately worked for me. So that's why I'm here. However, this year, I don't just want to talk all things money and mindset, but also how we people, we humans, how we can be better, how we can build better relationships, because I believe that for us to leave our children with a better world, we first need to ultimately do the work on ourselves. We need to heal the parts of us that we have perhaps been suppressing, ignoring, and that we don't know how to ultimately move on from. I want to live in the kind of world where we are proud to leave that kind of world for our children. I'm sure you can agree that the state of the world right now is going through a lot. It's still going through this huge transformation. And so I want to continue to bring you new conversations, new perspectives on how we as people can break the cycle of scarcity, the cycle of unworthiness, and educate ourselves, heal ourselves, shift our perspectives, and redefine what abundance and what scarcity means. So that's exactly what I'm talking about in this first episode back in 2024, how you can begin changing your relationship with money. And as always, the knowledge that I share, as I have said, comes from ultimately my lived experience. I don't just talk the talk, I walk the walk. I'm always continuously doing this kind of work and I'm consistently trying to apply what I then learn to my life. Because at the end of the day, that is exactly what we are here to do. We are here to learn and to keep evolving. And so I'm no different. So the number one, I know that this is going to sound obvious, but understanding what your values are. What do you value most? And I know that this can seem like a really simple question, but it's a question that I think we do not spend enough time really reflecting upon or sitting with. And it's a question that can offer so much clarity, not just what you want on what you want, but what you value most in life. Answers the question of, this is what I stand for. So each year, I always begin my year by reflecting on the values that I wrote down the previous year and then checking with myself that they are the values that still align with who I am and what I believe in. With my beliefs and then with my goals, I make changes if necessary, but it is also from knowing my values that I then feel anchored when creating the goals for the year. So, of course, number two is goals versus expectations. Goals are so important, yes, and we need to be clearly defining them. But here is the catch. Once you create your goal, you need to then drop the expectation that it needs to happen in a certain way or by a certain time frame. That was the catch. That was the crux for that I learned of how to, I guess what people would say, manifest your goals or manifest your dreams, manifest your desires. Our relationship with money can very often feel overwhelming and stressful. And this is simply because we place that expectation on ourselves for where we believe we should be in life, how successful we should be, or how much money we should be making or earning. These expectations are ultimately then leading us to feel disappointment or frustration because it hasn't turned out exactly as you'd hoped. And you didn't perhaps get the desired outcome. And then ultimately that leads you perhaps into a downward spiral of self-sabotage, of feeling not good enough, that good, not good enoughness. You know, this can sometimes be triggering of negative feelings, thoughts, and beliefs that you've perhaps been carrying about money, which then perpetuates that lack mentality, you know, that lack of creating the disconnection in the relationship with money and causing you ultimately to see more lack in your reality. So as the old saying goes, where your focus goes, where your attention goes, your energy flows, or where your energy flows, your attention goes. You know what I'm trying to say here. So understanding this for me personally made a huge impact because every time I begin to see or experience that something isn't quite going the way I had hoped, I stop and I ask myself, what is the expectation I am holding about this situation? I reflect on this and then I ask myself to drop the expectation and the insistence that it needs to happen in a certain way. And then I ask myself to trust in the process. Oof, I know that can sometimes feel so hard to do, but it's honestly, it's where the magic is. Using this simple method has been really so effective for me. It has helped me in making financial decisions, but no longer being triggered when something then doesn't go as planned. Here's an example. Last month, I sold one of my residential property investments. And when putting it on the market, I had previously calculated. So obviously I did the due diligence part and I calculated what I would need to sell it for it to be worth selling. And then obviously I told the agent that I wanted no less than $700K plus his commission. So in other words, don't bother entertaining any offers that are less than $700K. I was very lucky that the area I bought in was in a fast growing area. So there was a big boom in this particular area. And within a very short amount of time, within a few weeks, he already had offers over $700K, which I was like, great. Wow, that was like super fast. However, this potential buyer had a lot of terms and conditions. They also did not have pre-approval, something I prefer someone to have and something I know I always prepare beforehand when I go and purchase my next investment. And so they wanted me to hold the property for them until they sold their own property. So I had to make the call either to accept their offer and terms with the potential of it falling through if their pre-approval didn't come through, or their property didn't get sold, and then missing out on then showing other potential buyers to let their offer go, you know? So, or I had to ultimately let their offer go and go back to square one. following my mentor method of not placing expectations and trusting the process, kind of tuning into to myself and feeling like, you know what, that doesn't really sound like a fair deal. Me having to wait until you sell your property and I can't show any other prospective buyers, that didn't sit well with me. So obviously I went back to square one. I trusted the process and I let their offer go and was back at square one. And within a few weeks later, probably maybe about a month or so later, I had another offer. And guess what? This time it was even higher than the previous one I had. And they had pre-approval. They had no tricky terms or conditions other than obviously to do their due diligence of pest and building reports, which is completely normal. And everything was so smooth. Everything ran so smooth and so easy. It was like the easiest sale I think I've ever been involved in. And this was ultimately simply from me just trusting in that process, anchoring of I place no expectations on how this needs to turn out. I place no expectations that if this is falls through, it's just not meant to be the right one. I was in no rush and I trusted that process. And I knew that in the end that everything would work out. Everything did work out. And so I know that it's been from the work that I've done and to develop my relationship with money, from developing my mindset and my beliefs about money, that things always work out for me. And so number three, can money buy happiness? It's a phrase that I often use, and one that has always been an anchor for me is people give up what they want most for what they want now. I'm going to say that again. People give up what they want most for what they want now. And what I believe that means is that we have been and continue to be psychologically manipulated through marketing to believe that the more you have, the happier you will be. More is better. And that only when you have the forever house, the car, the holiday, the boat, the clothes, the bag, the body, that only then you're going to be happy. That the more stuff you have, the happier you will be. This is the kind of false beliefs that have seeded into our minds and kept us ultimately disconnected from what our actual values are. And again, this is why knowing and really anchoring back into your values every single year can help you create, you know, that bring back that connection again. The effects of this disconnection that they've ultimately instilled within us are that instead of valuing our time with our families, time in nature, and time with ourselves, that we create a consumeristic society where we depend on stuff to basically make us feel valued, make us feel worthy, and to ultimately what we are perceiving as happiness. This is why I often, you know, quote the phrase, people give up what they want most for what they want now, because they believe that what they want now is money, when what they want most is time. It's the freedom and it's the choice to live life on their own terms, on your own terms. This is what you want most. And what I have learned through trying to understand why and how it is that our society has come to this place so much importance on owning and having more stuff over living a life that is aligned with your values, what I have learned is that it's been engineered this way, guys. I've heard many people blame it all, of course, on capitalism. And look, yeah, we can definitely sit here and just go, yeah, let's just blame everything on capitalism. But when I did that financial education and I developed that knowledge, I investigated that for myself. And what I came to understand that there is actually a difference between free market capitalism and crony capitalism. And when you understand the difference between both, you'll actually see that one is trying to influence you and that the other one is actually trying to free you, right? This is definitely a topic I want to get more into in a different episode. But I wanted to focus today on telling you a story about Edward Bernays. Have you heard of him before? Well, Edward Bernays, in case you haven't, he was the nephew of Sigmund Freud. I'm sure you've heard that name before. He was hired, Edward Bernays, that is, was hired by countless presidents of the United States and by the largest corporations, not just in America, but also globally, to ultimately infiltrate the mind to think that more is better. He is actually considered to be the pioneer for what we today now call public relations. He is considered to be the godfather of propaganda. And just to give you an idea of just how misguided this guy was, his beliefs and ideas are that the masses are driven by factors outside of their conscious understanding, and therefore that their minds can and should be manipulated by the capable few. In other words, we have no understanding of anything, and therefore we should not even bother thinking for ourselves. Wow, I mean, if that doesn't signal crony capitalism and how deeply manipulated we have been and for how long, you know, all of that in the name of ultimately keeping us spending, keeping us consuming, and keeping us ultimately disconnected from what is truly important to us, our freedom, our time, our energy, and our choice. So Edward Bernays was this key influencer in seeding this misguided belief that we carry, that if you just have more money to buy more things, then you'll be happy. If you have more money, you'll have a greater relationship with money. But here is the kicker. Buying more things doesn't necessarily equal a better life. And it doesn't buy you a better relationship with money. Because if you believe that if I had more money, I'd be happier, then I believe you would be wrong. I'm sure it makes you less stressed, perhaps. It makes you more comfortable. I'm definitely not going to deny that. You know, money has its benefits. But it wouldn't make you happier. What is ultimately important is creating a vision of the life that is consistent with who you are at your core. And you cannot know who you are if you first don't establish or haven't taken the time to establish what are your values. Your values are what help you form your personality. You know, they form your beliefs, and your values allow you to establish your relationships. Your goals are what help you then to expand into becoming more of who you already are, or more who you wish to become. Placing, of course, no expectations for how that is supposed to roll out, how that is supposed to happen. If you truly want to change your relationship with money, you need to get clear on what you ultimately stand for, on what we value, on what your goals are. And remember that, of course, you want what you want most is more important than what you want now. I think it's important to understand that our relationship with money is deeply ingrained in our subconscious. It's been shaped by our childhood experiences, cultural influences, and societal expectations. So changing, of course, our relationship with money requires more than just changing our behavior. It requires, you know, you changing your mindset. And it ultimately requires time. It takes time to redefine and readjust the patterns that we're so being conditioned to. So I really hope that you've enjoyed this episode, this first episode back. My mission here is to make money simple and to encourage more people, especially women, to create a better relationship with their money. If you have a friend or a family member who you think would benefit from hearing this podcast, please do share it with them. And if you do, then please tag me in on your socials so I can express my gratitude. I am always so grateful that you're here with me. Thank you so much for spending this time with me. And I look forward to the next episode. So until next time, ciao for now.